The two Desai, Niraj and Kavita, shuffling across the dark plain through the desert night. The couple held each other close for support, clearly rattled by the startling revelations of the evening. They swayed and walked a swerving line. But they held each other, and that was good, Catti Bree knew. Their family had been torn asunder, and they would need each other in the coming days. The shape-shifting child sat down upon the ground and reformed yet again, now taking the host body of a wolf. The wolf loped along in the darkness, paralleling the couple, then moving ahead of them, making sure that the way was clear, that no animals or monsters would threaten these two, distracted as they were. She noted that they were soon walking straighter and leaning less upon each other. There seemed to be a determination growing within them. She broke off her shadowing when her parents, oblivious to her presence, came in sight of the Desai encampment, home again and safe, for now. But what might happen when the Netherese came calling once more, looking for Rukia? Catti Bree moved back out into the empty night, a child now, a girl, little Rukia. She too was reeling, she only then realized. For her home had been torn asunder. The security of her parents, even though they might be new parents and only through extraordinary circumstances, was gone now. And the love was distant. Yes, love, the girl realized. She had come to truly love Niraj and Kavita. Though she needed them far less than a true child of theirs might, she loved them both as dearly as any child could. She hadn't planned on leaving them this early. Indeed, she had hoped to remain in their home until she set out for Icewind Dale some 15 years hence. But now what could she do? She turned around and considered the imposing wasteland around her, this empire of Netheril, formerly the great desert of Anorak.
"Fear not for me, my parents," she said again,
replaying her parting words to the couple, but this time to bolster her own confidence.
"I go with the goddess, and my road is well known to me. We will meet again."
Her voice sounded tiny in the empty plain, the whisper of a child. For Catti Bree understood that she was in trouble, out alone in the wilds of Netheril, and with dangerous hunters of Shade Enclave eagerly pursuing her. She'd killed the two assassins at the tent. It was good fortune alone that had saved her at the tent. Before they'd arrived, she'd summoned the storm, a time-consuming spellcasting indeed, to bring the washing rains. Had she not previously thought to bring the storm clouds, she would never have had the devastating magic of the lightning at her fingertips. Her other spells, the bat swarm and the magic missiles, even the pillar of fire, would not have defeated those two, and those spells represented the most powerful magic she had. The girl pulled up her sleeves and looked down at her arms. The symbol of Mialiki gave her the power to summon the storms and to assume the animal forms. Perhaps she could have become a bear and battled the assassins. It was not a comforting thought, for the animal forms were limited, Catti Bree had come to understand, both in duration and effectiveness. No, without the storm already in place above the encampment, the best she might have done was distract and wound the killers with her bats, sting them with her missiles and fiery tricks, then become an owl to soar away, leaving her mother to die and her father to the mercy of the murderers. The thought of her dying mother reminded her of her other powers, the healing warmth of Mialiki. Indeed, in this regard, Catti Bree recognized that she was powerful, as much so as an acolyte of many years, perhaps, or even on a par with a priestess. Her days of close communion with the goddess in Eruladun had given her that much. She looked at her other arm, at the spell scar that resembled the symbol of Mistra. She had been training exhaustively in her past life, until the falling weave had damaged her, but she had been fairly new to the art before being taken, and she remained a minor trickster at best. She could sting with magic missiles, or throw a patch of grease upon the ground at the feet of a charging enemy, but her repertoire remained severely limited, and worse, she could not improve in the ways of arcane magic without a teacher, a mentor. She looked around at the empty plain once more and sighed deeply. In her past life, she had been a formidable warrior. But even if she could recall those fighting skills and train her body to move as she had before, what strength and speed might a child know? Surely not enough to match blades with a skilled assassin or even a novice warrior. Caddybree nodded, understanding the message Mialiki imparted to her through the coalescing lines of her own reasoning. She needed to hide. The goddess would protect her from the animals of Netheril's dark night. But she could do little against the determined killers of Shade Enclave. The thought had Caddybree sitting upon the ground, staring up at the stars, her little mouth moving through various curses. She had left Eruladoon full of hope and determination, certain that she would find her friends and Drizzt, and that they together would triumph. Not a doubt had tugged at her as she had jumped into the light of reincarnation. But now she understood the truth of it all. Would she even get back to Icewind Dale? Would she survive another 15 years? And even if she did, would she find her way through this confusing and dangerous world? And would Brunner and Regis? Suddenly, the plan on which the three had embarked seemed a desperate ploy, a dive from a high cliff into shallow water.
"Mialiki, guide me,"
she whispered into the empty night. Somewhere far off, a wolf howled. But not for her, she understood. The world was wide, too wide, and she was but a tiny child in the midst of a vast and dangerous plain. 10 days later, Caddybree flew through the night in the form of an owl once more. She drifted on unseen currents, soaring around the Desai encampment. Many milled around among the tents. There was a palpable tension in the air, and an occasional shout of protest lifted above the din. She flew up high, above the torchlight, and listened carefully, finally picking out the accents that were not Desai. Along with them, she heard Niraj. Caddybree swooped down toward the group in question, alighting on the peak of a nearby tent, in full view of the gathered Desai leaders, her parents, and a small group of shades. Shades. In short order, she realized that they were speaking about her, about the incident that had left two of the Netherese agents dead at the entryway of a blasted tent.
"Rukia!"
one of the Netherese agents demanded. If any had been close enough, they might have been startled.